It's the Podcast the News Show, where the editors of podcasternews.com share their insights on a wide range of podcasting topics.
This is Sean Thorpe. Welcome to Podcaster News Show, episode 11. Today, I would like to talk to you about crowdfunding platforms. There are so many of them now, and I've written about some newer ones recently, and I've actually had some experience with, well, at least one of them personally, and I thought it might be worth taking a little bit of a deep dive just to kind of compare what's out there now. And I want to stress that I'm looking more so at platforms that are geared towards monthly donations as opposed to something like Kickstarter or GoFundMe, where maybe you're trying to reach a singular goal. So these platforms are more geared towards, again, recurring monthly contributions. And I came up with a list of four, and really the fourth one is kind of a runner-up, and that's Joyride. Joyride is the newest of these services, at least as far as I know. And it's different in that it all works sort of within a single app. So Joyride itself is a Stitcher-esque app in that it aggregates all these different podcasts. And the idea is if someone listens to your show through Joyride, they can very easily, from right within the app, sign up to become a contributor financially, a backer, if you will, to your show. And it's an interesting concept. I find from looking over it that the Joyride fees are kind of confusing, and I think overall what I'm going to say about them is just that if you've got a large audience, I think that looking at Joyride could be intriguing to you, but I think if you've got a smaller audience, and I mean, I'm talking if your show is maybe, you know, around a few hundred regular downloads or maybe even a few thousand, the Joyride fees are probably going to be more than it's going to make it worthwhile to you. And I'm not going to go in depth with that, but I am going to link to the article that I wrote about them recently. And from there, you can get over to their site and kind of peruse that more for yourself. So let's get into the actual top three. So number three is Castbacker. Like Joyride, Castbacker is also a fairly new service. And what I like about it is it's pretty simple. You can create your own page through Castbacker for your podcast. And, you know, it sort of implies that it's designed for specifically for podcasts right in the name. I'm sure you could use Castbacker really to help fund any ongoing endeavor, but hey, it's called Castbacker, so we got to like it, right? Now, fees on Castbacker are pretty straightforward. They run everything through Stripe, the credit card processing service, and what you have to do if you want to work with Castbacker is create your own Stripe account, which is in itself free, and then Castbacker handles the signups for people that want to contribute to you through this system, and then Stripe connects sort of the two and actually handles the payment. The fee is 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. So that comes out to just kind of thinking that your typical monthly contribution is probably going to be $2. You're looking at about 36 cents out of that transaction is taken by Stripe. One thing that concerns me about Castbacker is I can't really determine what its actual business model is. I don't know if maybe Castbacker has some sort of affiliate relationship with Stripe, and then they, you know, get paid when people sign up through Castbacker, and thus the payments are processed through Stripe, or if the developers at Castbacker are just kind of doing this, you know, out of the goodness of their own hearts, which is fantastic. But I feel like for most podcasters, preferably we want to find one service that we can send our audience to. I think when it comes to these kind of crowdfunding things, you don't necessarily want to have a Castbacker and a PayPal and a Patreon campaign. You kind of only want to have one because it can get confusing otherwise. So while I like Castbacker, I feel a little concerned in that their presentation is very minimal, and I just don't really understand how Castbacker itself is making any money. So something to consider, and part of the reason why I gave them third place. So second place is, of course, the 900-pound gorilla in the room on all these things, and it's PayPal. And when it comes to fees, PayPal is comparable to Castbacker in that most PayPal transactions are the same price-wise. So 2.9% plus a 30-cent per transaction fee. This can range depending on, you know, international transactions, stuff like that. So again, if your typical sign-up through PayPal would be $2 a month, then you're looking at about 36 cents taken out of that to service that transaction. Now, this is PayPal. This is their business. So we know, I mean, PayPal is, it feels like at this point they've been around forever and they're not going anywhere. So I'm not worried that this is some unsustainable model for them. Obviously, it's working out okay. The drawbacks to using PayPal to create your monthly contribution are sort of twofold. And I think whether or not you choose to implement PayPal has to do with your own level of technical ability, because you will have to roll your own PayPal sign-up system. Now, this is not terribly complicated. Really, it's just a matter of going into the PayPal website, going into their merchant tools, plugging in some variables, and then PayPal will give you some codes to embed on your website. But if you're completely hands-off with that kind of stuff, then it might be more than you can handle. I mean, if you're using WordPress or probably even Squarespace, if you're using any kind of CMS with any kind of reasonable capability, then you'll probably be able to handle that. But it's not that simple thing that even Castbacker gives you, where you just go sign up, set it all up once, and then say, hey, everybody, go to my Castbacker page, and then they take care of it all from there. The other thing is, some people hate PayPal, and they're going to be turned off if they see that as the only option. Personally, I don't understand why so many people vehemently hate PayPal, but whatever the case, it could turn some people off, so it's something to consider. If you've got a fairly large audience, especially if you've got a fairly tech-savvy audience, I think you'll probably be okay with PayPal. I mean, you may lose some, but I don't think it'll be enough to really make a difference. This is where knowing some information about your audience and whether or not they're using any of these other services already could come in handy. So this brings me to my number one choice. And if you haven't figured it out already, yes, it is Patreon. So Patreon does something that these other services don't do that is intriguing, I think, especially to podcasters. And that is, instead of just giving you the option to let your supporters sign up with monthly fees, they can sign up to support you, say, on a per episode or per item basis. So say you're a show that runs in seasons where you may, you know, release 12 to 20 episodes in a row and then go on break for a while. One problem that you may run into with just taking monthly payments is during those off months, people may go, well, why am I supporting this show? They're not even in production anymore. And they may just back out and not back you anymore. But if you've got that per episode model, then you don't have to worry about that. When you go dormant, they stop paying. And when you come back, they start paying again. So that's particularly handy and not something that you can easily do through Castbacker or PayPal. And if you're someone who maybe struggles a bit to create on a consistent basis, if you set it up specifically for your backers to support you on a per episode basis, maybe it'll give you a little more incentive to get more consistent, more busy, you know, get your shows done on a more regular basis. The other thing that I like about Patreon that, again, you can't really do with these other services is you can create specific funding goals. This is something that's a little more common, say, with a Kickstarter, but with the Patreon, you're still having that monthly support level. And you're saying, okay, if we reach $1,000 a month, for example, in Patreon contributions, then we will produce an extra show a month, or we'll put out a special video, you know, whatever works for your show. And it's all built right into Patreon, and it's all transparent. It's right there on your Patreon page. You can set what the goals are, and the way Patreon works, it will allow for people to see how close you may be to those goals, and that may encourage them to get involved with contributions of their own, because maybe that thing is really cool to them, and they want to see it. So, you know, you could kind of roll your own solution to that with these other services, but Patreon just automates everything. And again, it's that one-stop setup, and you just let it roll. The other nice thing about Patreon is it's gotten a lot of brand recognition, specifically in podcasting. Obviously, anyone who's creating something can use it, but a lot of buzz has happened through Patreon and podcasts. So I think a lot of podcast listeners are already familiar with it, and you don't have to worry about trying to kind of train them to go to a new service and sign up or new thing. If they've already got a Patreon account and they're supporting other shows, it'll just make it that much easier for them to add you to what they do. Now, this is where Patreon has its downside compared to these other services. Their fee structure is kind of complicated. The way Patreon works is when someone signs up to become a patron of you, there is a processing fee that is levied against their contribution. So again, using that $2 example, if someone signs up to back your podcast at $2 per month, if they choose to sign up through PayPal, then there's a charge of 5 cents plus a 5% fee. And we'll get a little more into that 5% fee, but we're just going to kind of do this as sort of a worst case scenario. So let's say someone just joins Patreon and you're the first show that they decide to back, and for the foreseeable future, they don't back any other shows. So their $2 per month contribution to you, if they decide to use PayPal to sign up, because they can either sign up with PayPal or just they can input a credit card. But if they use PayPal, then PayPal is going to take a 5% fee and a 5 cent fee. So at $2, 5% is 10 cents, and then the 5 cents on top of that. So 15 cents comes out of that right away. So in essence, $1.85 is going to go to you straight off the top. And then also Patreon takes a 5% cut for itself off of that. So that would be another, again, if we're working off the $2 model, another 10 cents. So right there, just to walk in the door to get that $2, you're already losing 25 cents. So you're not quite over the hill yet versus Cashbacker and PayPal, where for you to get the $2 from them, you're paying 36 cents. But we're not done yet, and I apologize for all the math. Hopefully, it's not too hard to keep up with. But this is where, again, Patreon is a little more cumbersome, a little more confusing than the other two. So you're now at $1.75 that's gone free and clear into your Patreon account. So that just kind of sits there, and then when you get ready, you can withdraw it. So let's just, again, for the sake of keeping everything simple, let's stick with that. You've got that $1.75 left. Now, in order to get that money into your account, you've got a couple of options. You can set up for a direct deposit in the United States only, and that will be a 25 cent flat fee per transfer. You can also apparently sign up for something called Payoneer. I've never heard of that. For a $3 fee per transfer, in which case you, under this model, you wouldn't actually make any money. You'd owe money, so that probably wouldn't be a good choice. And then finally, you can have that money transferred to your PayPal account, and then PayPal is going to hit you with their fee, to which Patreon describes as a 2% PayPal fee in the U.S. per transfer. PayPal International is half a percentage up to 2%. I'm sure that depends on your country. But again, we're kind of looking at, 2% is kind of the guideline for PayPal. So let's go back, if we're not already confused enough, to that $1.75 that you would have netted from that first contribution of $2. So if you want to go the simple route on that, pay the 25 cent fee, have it direct deposited into your checking account, your total after all the fees is 50 cents. So to get that $2 from Patreon, it's more expensive than to get that $2 from PayPal or Cashbacker. Let's do some quick math here. So if your PayPal fee is 2% to get that $1.75 from Patreon into your account, then that 2% comes out to, we'll just say 4 cents. So that would bring your total cost up to 29 cents. Now, that actually is less expensive than what you would pay if you were just doing Cashbacker or PayPal straight up. So there's some play in here depending on what your own options are. And again, the Patreon terms are confusing, and I hope that someday they'll get to a point where instead of having this broken down, they can just say, we have a one-time fee that covers all of this. And I understand why they're trying to do it this way, because they're operating in kind of that lean startup mode, and they're trying to be super transparent, and they're trying to figure out how to keep the cost down as low as possible, and I get all that, and I think it's good. But my brain kind of hurts here trying to work it all out, and I hope it hasn't been terribly confusing to you. Now, it's possible that if you did decide to go through that model of – to go through that system with Patreon of using PayPal that I estimated around 29 cents, your fee could actually be lower, because what Patreon does is they take an aggregate processing fee from all of the pledges that come in from a single patron. And I know this is like insane, but according to their terms of service, it says that we aggregate each patron's pledges each month. If a patron is supporting multiple creators, credit card fees will be split amongst all creators being supported in an effort to minimize fees. What they're saying is that either PayPal or Stripe processing fee is charged once a month to patrons, and if that patron is then supporting, say, 5 or 10 campaigns, then they'll break down that fee, that single fee, between all the campaigns. So that's something that's almost impossible to know. And I guess down the road, when I actually make some money from Patreon and actually take some money out, it'll give me a chance to kind of look at the full breakdown and see what the actual outcome is. So there you go. I hope this answered more questions than it raised. And if you've used any of these services, if you love or don't love them, or you have any thoughts, I'd love for you to head over to podcasternews.com. Look for PCN show number 11 and leave a comment there. You can also hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Shawno, S-H-A-W-N-O. You can also follow Podcaster News at the somewhat confusing Twitter handle of at Podcasting News. But that's where, you know, all the show activity happens. And, you know, I'd love to hear what people are using and what your experience has been like. And that'll be my podcast for PCN for January of 2015. And hopefully I'll be back with you in February. Thank you for listening. Thank you.